hope you will catch a glimpse of, you were to try and somebody ask you, what have you learned this week? And you can say, I can share with you Ephesians. And you can say, you know, in chapter 1, we learn about how God can be our Father. And how this great and wonderful Father, rich in grace and mercy and love, has blessed us with all kinds of blessings in the heavenly places. How wonderful it is to know in chapter 2 that we are God's workmanship. The thing about this, in chapter 3 we have very much the testimony of the Apostle Paul. He says, this is how I want to live my life. I want to share with people all that I've learned about the Lord Jesus. And then he said, this was his prayer. Right? He says, I'm going to pray for you. He's praying that they might really have the Lord in their life, the Lord may dwell in their hearts, that they might be strong. You know, all of these wonderful things. Right? In chapter 4 and 5 and 6, we have a lot of practical advice. Right? This is very important, as particularly we want to go on practical advice, singling out the most important things. Right? Be imitators of God so that we are able to walk in love, walk in the light, no, not in darkness, and we walk circumspectly. Right? So this is what we've learned about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a believer. Now, we cannot complete this because it's not a complete picture until you see the sixth chapter. Right? I'm going to tie in the sixth chapter with chapters 2, 4, and then 6 so that you can see this in a little bit, in a more definite way. Right? So sometimes we think of how wonderful life is. If all these things are true, and they are, then why is it that we got so many problems in life? And the problem is not with God. One part of the problem is with us, self. All right? Related to this is sin. Now, there is another part of it which you need to know. So Ephesians 2 tells us, right? Let's look at Ephesians 2 and we will see how this works out. Look at chapter 2 and we read, right? This is the four we sing about, right? This is important, how to battle the four. So where we go? Once upon a time, we walk according to the course of this world, verse 2. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. This is to tell you that there are powerful forces that you can't see. Sometimes, you know, worst kind of thing here is you can't see the enemy. And when you cannot see the enemy, that's the worst thing to do because you don't know what you're fighting. Right? So we have to understand there is an invisible warfare that you don't even know about, that exists. And he's going to attack you quietly on the side without you ever knowing. He will never identify himself. If he can, that's the best thing to do. Hit you when you don't even know what hit you. Yeah, there we go. So that is your invisible warfare that we are looking at. And that's going to be important for us to think about very carefully. Right? Is this an important warfare? Yes. Because if we lose this war, you're going to be dead. Exactly what chapter 2 tells us. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. So the evil one will cause you to sin. And you will even like sin. You will defend sin. You will defend your wrongdoing. And you are already dead. That's how he wins. Your parents can't get through to you. Your Sunday school teachers can't get through to you. Your friends cannot get through to you. Even when you are not doing well in school, that doesn't get to you. That's how dead we can be. This is the enemy at work. Now, here's chapter 4. All right, very quickly, we go into chapter 4, and we will see how the enemy continues to attack. Okay, so this is very important. Verse 17, we read, right? Don't walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Futility of the mind, understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, ignorance, blindness, past feeling, name it, it's there. This is what happens. We become victims of war. We begin to suffer the effects of this spiritual warfare that we don't know anything much about. This is where this song that we just learned is so important. Are you even real? Come on, we always tell people, get real. What are you doing? How are you living? Get real. We don't even understand what we're doing. The challenge, get real. So this is where we go into chapter 6. And I want you to come to terms with what Paul is trying to teach in chapter 6 here. All right? So in chapter 6, beginning from verse 10. In this battle, in this understanding, before Paul went to talk about spiritual warfare, which he is, right? He has one word to say first and foremost, and that already addresses part of the problem. And he says, be strong. And I think many of us, even though we have spent 4 days, you cannot say you are strong. You're not strong in your mind. You're not strong in your faith. You're not strong in any real sense of the word. You're not strong spiritually. And when you are not strong, you are going to be defeated. Step out of this camp, step out of this conference, go back home, and you are defeated. This is where the real challenge comes in. Finally, my brethren, he said, be strong in the Lord. How? How can you be strong? And the strength is not physical. It is to be strong in the power of His might. Right? If you don't have the strength, and literally here is the power of His might. And if this power is not yours, I will tell you, you will be defeated to your face. Get real. Right? This is important for us to understand how that works. But God, once again, in His goodness, in His grace, provides for us. Look at His provision here. Right? And so we are told, put on the whole armor. That is God's provision, the whole armor, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There is your foe. And I will tell you this, nobody is strong in himself. You may be a pastor, you will be defeated too. Don't kid yourself. Titles do not defend you. Age does not defend you. Your interests, your ability, they do not defend you. You need the strength and might from God. Without the strength, without that might, you're not going to go anywhere at all in any way, at any time. All right? So we are told to put on the armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. So we are told what our enemies are like. Look at this very carefully. Verse 12. Okay? Not against flesh and blood. See, your problem is not your friends or your family. It's not physical. Your enemy is against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness, 4 different levels of things that we don't even know exist. Please do not think that those spiritual powers are a very disorganized group. You know, they come in like ghosts and things like that. Those kinds of things, witchcraft kind of thing, most of that is superstition. This is not. This is real stuff. And this will attack you. Wherever you are weakest, it will attack you. If your mind is weakest, you will be hit. If your emotions are weak, they will be hit there. Wherever you show weakness, there the evil one will attack. Why should you attack when you are strong? He will attack you when you are weak. When you are strong, he will leave you alone. He will wait patiently until you are weak. That's when he will hit you, and you are lost. So this being strong is not, you know, a strong 1 week, weak the next week. No. This strength and power of his might is an everyday thing. It's an everyday strength. Then you will not find this easily, but you have to ask yourself whether you would like to see this. Because if you don't find this, if you don't have this, you will find that you are not going to go beyond a certain level. So when I read this passage years and years ago, the first thing I did was to memorize the entire passage. It was a 10 to 18, all the way. That's the first thing I did, memorized it. Go over it again and again and again and again until I understand what this armor is all about and how to go about doing these things here. So verse 13, we read, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Again, we are told, well, you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, this is my prayer, my hope, my desire, that having done everything I can to the very last day, I want to stand firmly on what I believe in. And this is not an easy thing to achieve, but it's something that I don't know what will happen, but this is my prayer. Having done all to stand. Now, it's a battle that will go on again and again. We will never stop. There are many, many battles. This is a long warfare. In the scriptures, there are many wars mentioned. Small battle with the Amalekites win. Joshua, his people, right? Joshua was fighting with the people. Moses has to pray, combine together, and they won. You read about this in Exodus, right? So this is one battle. When it came to fighting with the Assyrians, Israel lost. Fight with the Babylonians, Israel lost. Israel was nowhere among the Medo-Persian, Persians, among the Greeks, among the Romans. There was nothing there. Israel had lost its way completely. Darkness took over. Why? They had no armor. Not because they didn't have, because they were not strong and they did not put on the whole armor. And this afternoon, I want to share with you the 6 pieces of armor that you must ask yourself whether you even understand. And if you can put on the 6 pieces of armor, it's going to help you a great deal. Now, to your horror, you may realize that you may not even have one. And if that's where it is, that's reality too. So let this be our prayer. Lord of reality, make me real. So I'm going to get real with you right now this afternoon. And ask you seriously, okay? Let's take a look. Stand, therefore. A key word is be strong. The next word is stand, right? So take up the whole armor, above all to stand, verse 13. Verse 14, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, meaning to say this is called the belt of truth. Now, if you do not know the Word of God, if you do not know the truth, you have no belt. Right? Where would you hang the sword? Nothing. Okay? Now, this is very important. Where would you, how would you go to tighten your clothing in those days? Nothing. You need that belt, and that belt is called truth. Now, this is the big issue. If we don't learn to love truth, then you will find that you are going to go, first piece of armor, you already can't put on the second piece of armor. Okay, go on further. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this is very important, the belt. This one is the breastplate. Why this breastplate? This is where you are clothed. This righteousness is twofold. One, it is a righteousness that God imputes. That's given to you. Right? We call this imputed righteousness. The second part of it is your personal life righteousness. Now, understand this. When you look at metals out there today, they are seldom by itself. They're always blended. Right? That's where the strength is. That's what you're looking at. And you need to ask yourself, are you living a life that is righteous? That is where it is. What's what it means? You wear something right in front, and you there you are. There's righteousness all over you. Right? A lot of people don't know how to treasure righteousness. They just want to follow the world. Why do we want to follow the world for? Right? It's full of darkness. What we should put on is this righteousness things here. Now we go on further to the third thing. Okay? Third one, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Right? These are called shoes. And the shoes would be the gospel. This is the gospel shoes. Do you know how to present the gospel? Do you know how to lead someone to faith in the Lord Jesus? Right? Like you say, you ask, you know, how can I logically present the gospel to somebody? How can I present Christianity as a logical truth? This is the gospel. Right? That a lot of us don't know how to present our faith to ourselves. If I were to you, what do I say? What do I believe in? And we don't know how to present. What do I believe in? Why do I believe in? And this is all part of it, the gospel. And a lot of people don't know how to present the gospel. You ask them, why are you a Christian? You can't tell. If a friend needs you to tell you, ask you, how do I become a Christian? You don't even know how to help the person. You don't know. You don't know the word of God. You see, it goes on. How do I share with you? I need truth. I need to tell you this is righteousness imputed. I need to tell you this is part of the gospel of the kingdom of God. But if I don't know any of these things here, I cannot present. Right? Obviously, number four, let's go on further to the fourth one. Above all, now, taking the shield of faith. Now, God has given to us a shield. And this is called faith. What if this faith is not certain? What if this faith is weak? What if this faith is shaky? What if this faith is murky? Then you don't have much of a shield. Your shield is not going to be able to protect you, because if we read what a shield can do, let's take a look. We'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The wicked one will send to you doubts, and you cannot block off the doubts. Will send to you questions, and you have no answers. Will send to you suffering, and you can't take it. This is a shield of faith. And we don't realize that all these questions that you are raising, and altogether in 3-4 days, we have been looking at over 60 questions. Every day, 20-something questions. So you have well over 60 questions, and you know, you just imagine no answers to any one of them. We need answers to every one of them. This is our shield of faith. And the greater the faith, the stronger your shield will be. Remember, the evil one will shoot fiery darts at you. The word fiery darts are arrows. And he will set in all kinds of arrows against you, volleys of them. And we go on further to talk about these things here. And take the helmet of salvation. Now, this is important for us to look at number five, salvation helmets. Do you know whether you are truly saved? Because if you are not sure of your own salvation, you're not sure about any of these things here, then you are going to go there unsure whether you are, and you are going to get a head injury, and you're lost. And then finally, this is important here, we are given the sword of the Spirit. Right? The sword of the Spirit is such that you are able to refer to the Word of God at any time, any passage. That is how you wield the sword. You know how to use the sword. You know how to understand the sword. You know how to thrust. You know how to parry. You know how to attack. You know how to defend the sword. And the sword is just an extension of your arm. And you'll find yourself, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Check yourself. What do you have? Give yourself. Check yourself. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many points? To have the full armor. Then you, to your horror, you may realize, I don't have any. And that's where you are weak. Those who we go back to, you must be strong in the Lord. If you don't, if you are given this armor, all of these things that you put on, I tell you, you can't even move. How long does it take to learn how to use all these things here? Right? Now, obviously, if you take a look at the sword of the Spirit, now, how many of you learn Chinese sword? Anybody learn Chinese sword? Nobody. Wushu, anybody? Nobody. You did? What do you use? Sword? How, was it easy? You, any championship yet? Right? Now, you see those champions? You see how well they wield the sword? Look at the grace, look at the strength, look at the artistry, and they spend years developing that. That is using the sword. But when you go into spiritual warfare and you only have the sword, you're going to be shot to pieces. Where's the armor? Where's the shield? Where's the helmet? Can you see this? Now, you have to ask yourself, why is the Lord giving us all these things here? One, He provides for your personal protection. This is something you need important. For your own personal protection. Because there you go. You are alone. You are vulnerable. You know, I wish we all can stay together. Everyone stay together. We all eat together. We all sing together. We all do things together. It would be wonderful. Right? It's not going to be possible. But you all go home. Everyone to your own home. That's where you are vulnerable. Like you, like some of you have mentioned, I have no one to share with. You're right. You're trying to talk to your parents, maybe they won't understand. You talk to your friends, they will ask you, looking at you, what's wrong with you? You're alone. You have to be that lone soldier. Can you do it? Can you understand it? Can you cope? That is going to be important. You understand what I'm trying to get at? Right? So one, two, nobody talks about one lone soldier fighting. You can't. It's always a patrol. Right? You have a platoon, you have a brigade, you have a whole army. What are they for? It's not just protecting self. Remember, we are a church. A church is also a nation. It's also a family. It's also a household. We are strong. Why? To protect that which is ours. It's important. Right? If we do not fight for our family, who's going to fight for them? This is very important. If I work for my family. That's how I provide for them. Right? If I am going to protect, it will be to protect what I need to protect. Those whom I love, those whom God has given me, and that is my work. That is my challenge. That's my duty. I want to be there to provide for the family, to protect the family, to do everything I can. If there is a foe, I will fight the foe. So that's why when it comes to wrong teachings, I'm there. I am just not afraid of people who will say whatever they want to say. Why should we be afraid when we stand on the truth? We learn. And that is where we take a look at these things here. We provide. Now, we read further. Okay? And all of these things are there. And what if we are missing in any of these things? Then we are going to be defeated. I don't know what it is that motivates you to put on the whole armor of God. But I ask myself, what it is that I am, what I'm trying to do. All right, one, it is to protect. To ask myself who? One, self. Two, family. Three, church. Four, friends. Whatever. This is what I will do. So what does it take? I mean, what does it take to be a soldier for the Lord? And it takes a lot, seriously. Now, particularly the next generation. I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Timothy. All right? Now, this is important for us. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to his spiritual son. Right? And so he said to Timothy in chapter 2 and in verse 3, he said, "You therefore must endure hardship." Right? To put on all of these things here, you may have to endure some hardship. But most of us just want fun. We just want an easy life. We do not want hardship. Warfare will involve, it will include hardship. Carol, how much hardship can you take? Look at this. Now, I hope you understand how this is the art of war. It's very important for us to understand. Okay? So, and your soldiers. Secondly, you want to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And now there are soldiers who think that they are soldiers. They go in, it's an old classic, it's called the Red Badge of Courage. It's no longer red very much. It's about a young boy who says that I want to go and fight in a war. Right? So he goes out there and he fights in the war and he sees all his friends running away and he's scared. And before he even fired a shot, he's already chickened out. He was running for his life, but he got injured along the way. Right? But not because of a bullet, because he fell down and he injured himself. It looks like a war wound since he bandaged himself out. It's all fake. It's all fake. There's a lot of people are fakes. Lord of reality, make me real. You want to be a soldier? One, be a good soldier. Seriously, in Singapore, we have this thing called National Service for the boys, and most of the guys don't take it seriously. It's just 2 years, I'll just finish my time, done. People don't take this seriously. That they don't realize the lesson they miss out. What does it mean to be a good soldier? That's where we learn. How can I be a good soldier for the Lord? One, I learned how to endure hardship. There we go. I learned to be strong, right? I learned to put on the whole armor. I learned to go into battle unafraid. Now, this is vital for us when Paul went on further today. No one engaged in warfare, this is warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, this afternoon, I'm here to enlist you. In other words, to tell you, will you join the Lord's army? Seriously, right? So I'm going to tell you what it takes. It takes strength. And if you are not strong, find the strength. Let the weak say, I am strong. And tell the Lord, I want to be strong. Now, this is important. Okay? Now, this is where we go back into all of them. We think in terms of how God is. He is Father. And as His children, He calls us to arms. He calls us to enlist as soldiers. He calls us and He will shape us. His workmanship is to make us to be His children who are soldiers. In the days when Nehemiah was the governor of old Israel, they needed to build the wall. Now, he knows nothing about world building, neither does he know anything about warfare, because he was a king's cupbearer. He knows the fine things of life, but not war, not building a wall. But he says, I will learn, and he did. And he told his people, when the enemies came to disrupt them, enemies came to attack them, he tells the people, fight for your family, for your wives, for your children, for your homes. I am asking you to do just that. We fight for our very lives. This is important. And I will tell you here, I'm here to enlist people who will say, yes, enroll me. I want to be a soldier for the Lord. I want to learn to put on the whole armor of God, 6 pieces. I will learn to put them on with strength. I will learn how to stand against the evil one. I will stand against the foe. This is something that we all need to learn. Can we do this? Right? Now we have learned. This is God as Father. He's not going to put us into any unnecessary risk. This is for our own protection. This is for our own good. He's not going to send people to war unnecessarily. He's not going to put our lives at risk. This is not what he does in warfare. This is defense. This is when the enemies attack, when the enemies send showers of arrows against us. We don't send out things like that. Notice, there are no arrows, there are no lances, there are nothing of that. These things are all weaponry of defense. Question, do you know how to defend yourself? Do you know the truth enough? Now, if you're not, I am going to ask you, would you make a commitment? I want to be. Let me learn how to put on the belt of truth. Learn, I am committed. Let me learn about truth. Let me understand righteousness, put on the breastplate. Let me learn how to put on shoes of gospel. Let me learn how to carry this shield of faith. Let me put on this helmet of salvation. Let me learn how to wield the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. All of these things, when you enlist, you all just simply become recruits. Are you going to be main officer yet? No. Recruits. Literally, BMT, basic military training. Let's get down to it. Are you ready for this? Right? So when people, you know, go into army training, they all complain the food is no good, not enough rest, got to get up too early, or got to sleep late, you know, every day the same thing here. And everybody hates the thing almost. We miss the point. This is army. This is warfare. And warfare is not about fun. Where your lives are at stake, it's not fun. It's serious. So what am I fighting for? I'm fighting for my faith not to be taken from me. I'm fighting for my church not to be corrupted and be affected badly by any outside person who will come in to disrupt. Right, what am I fighting for? For my family. What am I fighting for? In future, you build your own family. That's what you're fighting for. But it begins with being recruited, being enlisted. Will you enlist? This is my challenge to all of us. Right? It's always up to you. Remember, it's always a choice. This is why I've chosen this last song for us all to sing. And with this is something which I would like very, very much. And with as we sing this song, now, as the words speak to you, right? As the song speaks to you, I mean, those who are here to sing, please come right up here. No, don't stand in the corner. Just come right in front here. And we're just going to say, I'm here because I am part of the Lord's army. Right? You understand what it means. And you are here because you're really part of the Lord's army. But let's look at the words again. And it says here very clearly, Lord of reality. First, make me real. Are you a real believer? Think about this, right? Make me real. Second, make me feel. There we go. Right? You must be able to feel, as it were. Now look at this very carefully. Okay? What do we feel? And this is the love of God that we have. Now this is something we don't. So at any point of time, you say, yes, I understand this, I have this, and I want this too, I want to have this. Come up and join us. Anytime you want to come, don't just stand up where you are. Come up and join us. And you're saying, count me in. Let me come in. Now, if you, throughout the whole week, you really don't understand, you don't want to pay, please don't come up. Right? It's going to be a miserable time. But if you are ready, you know, I am going to be enlisted. I want to learn. I want to learn the six things that Paul wrote about. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I want to learn them well. I want to put on the whole armor. Come and join us. You are very welcome. But let's start at any time. This is your prayer. Lord of reality, make me real. Please get real. Be a real Christian. Not a Christian in mind. Not a Christian in words. Not a Christian in, you know, because you come from a Christian family. Well, you're a soldier, right? And you say, I want to be that soldier. Come on up anytime. You're very welcome. Okay, well, let's sing this as our prayer in closing. I take it from you seriously, you will pursue your faith. And we're going to help you seriously every way we can. You want to learn the Lord's word, we will teach you the Lord's word. You want to learn to pray, we will share with you our prayer. We want you to become real Christians, people who are solid, dependable, get a future. Will be yours. This is what we come to all about. Think about this. All the committee members, you all came where you are. I've seen people who have suffered for their faith terribly. And they take the suffering. They take the scolding. They take the abuse. Some were kicked out of their homes. And they said, I will suffer for the Lord. 14, 15 years old, they knew their faith. They knew they loved them. These are people of reality. I wish you this reality. There is a beauty about real Christianity that few people see. You bring tears to my eyes. And I want to tell you how much there is love for you. We just want to be there for you. We are not scolding you for the sake of scolding. We just want to help you to grow stronger, to be better, to be there for you. We just want to be there for you all the way. That I'm serious. That I mean it. So later on when Ariel grows up, I want you to be there for her. She's not alone. Ariel, you're not alone here. You have a lot of brothers, sisters. They're going to stand by you. Think of her right now. Now, you haven't said a word to her. Talk to her. Tell her you're not alone. You're part of our family. And we're going to be there for you. When you need help, years down the road, you know what? All of us are going to be there. And I mean it. But I hope you will seriously take this. Whatever it is, maybe you are going through pain, maybe you're going through sorrow, maybe you're going through whatever it is, you know what? You're not alone. We're going to be there for you. You're struggling through doubts, unbelief. We're there for you. That's what it means to be soldiers. We are there together. That's what it's all about. And I really look forward to, if we can do this, I will be very happy to think about this. The holidays are coming up. If you are free, I mean, if seriously, if you want to have meetings where we can meet up together during holidays, you know what? We'll find a time. If you can find a time, be happy. Think about this. So it's a post-camp kind of a thing here. It's not a camp at all. It's just post-camp learning. Where we talk about being soldiers for the Lord. Be happy to take it up with you, right? So you can come and be happy to learn how to So when we gather together, this is something we all will try to be. Right? So those of you who would like to come to the Shangri-La for the Christmas, but you don't have funds, you don't have money, I want to tell you, already 6 tables are set aside for you guys. Just sign up. Let us know. If you can afford, be responsible, pay. When you cannot afford, don't worry, let us know. We'll arrange for you to be there. We will make sure. See, this is what we mean to be part of each other. We're going to be there for each other. And we're going to be there to sponsor each other. We're going to be there every single step of the way. That's how we practice this. And that's wonderful. Question, would you do it? If the answer is yes today and you stand up, then let's look up, look out for each other. Really look out for each other and say, listen, I care about you. I really care about you. I want to know about you. That's what it takes. Right? Some years ago, there was one of our young ladies. Well, she used to come to camp. This year, she died. She was only 30 years old. She was one of us. And some of our young people, her friends, flew over to Perth to be there. This is our friendship. This is our fellowship with each other. We're there. Right? So this is very important. So when we look at each other, what it means for us, Ned, you're there at Perth. We want the people over at Perth, you look after her for us. That's how it must be. You look out for her. That's how it is. And when you are here, we'll be there for you, wherever you are. This is how we build the sense of camaraderie, oneness, as a family of God, as an army of God, as a nation of God. Talk to us. We'll be happy to help you. We are soldiers together. Right? Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you can make us real. Real with hearts to feel. Real with a faith that is precious. Thank you for what you are as Father. Lord, we pray that we will become your workmanship. Help us to become the person we should be, we can be, a person of reality. We pray for your blessings. We pray that you will teach us how we can go about doing this. And we pray that this afternoon we will make this commitment to be yours, to be enlisted as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will learn how to put on the whole armor of God. We will learn how to endure hardship. We will learn how to make our faith real and precious to us. Teach us how to care for each other, so that in time to come, should anyone be in need, we will be first to be there. Hear this, our prayer, and bless. We give thanks to you for being a wonderful Father, rich in grace and mercy and love. We give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ, who made it possible for us to become children, to be adopted. We thank you for the Spirit of God who works within us, being our seal and our guarantee that we will be yours forever. We give thanks for all the lessons we've learned from our teachers, to all the things that we have been able to enjoy. Make this a part of our memory. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I just want to ask you, how many of you like the songs of the old songs? You want to learn some more? Are you free to learn some more? Gabriel, are you free to teach some more? Okay, we gather around him to sing. Would you like that? Okay, we just sing just for the sure joy of it all. Thank you, Ariel, for being there with us today, this whole week. Just want to let you know, you look around at all of them, you memorize every one of them. And if they will be there for you, that we mean it. And guys, remember this, all right? So be there for her anytime. And this is important for us to think about.